This is a day the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. It is great to be here. As has already been stated, have a beautiful day outside. A little chilly this morning, but there's beautiful blue skies. Fall is upon us. Winter will be coming soon, so enjoy the fall. Yeah, I know. Don't look at me like that. Whether I say it or not, it's coming. we're glad to have our visitors with us this morning, and hope that you can stick around so that we can get to know you. And if you have any questions, let us know. We are continuing our study this morning, dealing with one anothering. This will be our third lesson. The idea of one anothering deals with how we as Christians treat each other and get along with each other. Our first lesson dealt with loving one another and what that meant. Last week we looked at being devoted to one another. And today we're going to look at honoring one another. We stopped last week in Romans 12 at verse 8 and picked up in verse 15. I want to go back to Romans 12 this morning and start where we left off in verse 9 of Romans 12. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Again, he's told us what we need to do. We need to be honoring each other. And he's going on in verse 11 what we need to do. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, and given to hospitality. In honor, giving preference to one another. What does this mean? How do we honor somebody? We do that by showing high respect or great esteem or sincere reverence. Honor is an adherence to what is right or to a conviction, a standard of conduct. Honor is also fulfilling an obligation or keeping an agreement. This country has made a great injustice, I think, to our fallen heroes. Not only the men and the women in blue, but also to our men and women from our recent wars. As Christians, need to honor one another. We will read later on how this honor goes beyond just you and I. I want us to take a quick look at six different Bible versions and how they translate or interpret Romans 12:10. The International Version says to honor one another above yourself. The New American Standard says to give preference to one another in honor. The King James and the New King James that we just read says in honor, preferring one another. The English version says, be eager to show respect for one another. I like that. We need to be eager. We need to be excited to show respect for one another. The English standard says to outdo one another in showing honor. And it's not a game or a battle to where, oh, you did this, or I'm going to do this, or you do this. No, but we just need to outdo each other. And then the Christian standard says to take the lead. Don't wait for somebody else to honor you. Take the lead in honoring one another. To honor means to put value to something, to consider it precious, weighty, and to show respect. How much value do you put on your friendships with each other? Do you consider them precious or just a passing thing? As Christians, we are called to outdo one another in honoring others, considering everyone as precious and of having value. One way to show honor to others is to put their needs, their wants, and their desires ahead of your own. And again, that's hard for us to do sometimes because the world that we live in, society says, think about yourself. Don't worry about other people. Me, 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 me. Okay? Not you. Which again is opposite of what God tells us to do. It's not about me, it's about you. And we do that by honoring other people. I want us to really make an effort to do this, to honor each other by trying to take the lead and honor other members of our Christian family above yourself. I've talked to you about if-then statements in computers. If this happens, then this occurs. If you push this button, then this happens. You know, if you push a button, if you push an A, then A is going to appear on your screen. It's an if-then. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. So here we have our if and then statements here in Philippians 2, verses 1 through 4. If all these things, verse 2, then fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Okay? Having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition. Again, it's hard with our society. They want you to be selfish. This is mine, 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 mine. Okay? Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others, not equal with you, but to esteem others better than you. Let that sink in on how we need to be as Christians. Verse 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. How good are we at doing that? Do we do that? We should all be like-minded as Christians. All of us here should have the same love and fellowship, affection and mercy, and be full of joy by our like-mindedness towards each other. We should be of one accord and of one mind. By having all of these things or traits in common with each other, we will not do anything to each other for selfish reasons or for selfish gain. We are not to look only for our own interests, but for the interests of each other. You might already be doing this, and that is fantastic. If not, then you need to reevaluate how you view and treat your fellow Christians. Sometimes we might have had to struggle with putting these concepts and principles into practice. Human nature being what it is, most of us are far more concerned about securing honor for ourselves and advancing our own reputation than we are doing so for others. Again, this me, me, me society that we're in, don't worry about others, don't try to promote others, don't try to, you know, do anything for anybody else, think about only yourself. And we see that especially in business, okay? You want to take off, you want to lead, you want to be, you know, promoted, so you don't help somebody else that might be better qualified because it's all about me. Backing up to Romans 12:3, Paul told us to not think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Do we do that? But that's the tendency sometimes, isn't it? Especially in today's day and age, we are to think only for ourselves and not of others. One of the best and worst examples of this was King Saul, the first king of Israel. We have studied the story of David being the only one who was willing to take on Goliath, the giant, in his challenge. With faith in God, David stepped out and defeated the giant with a sling and one smooth stone. King Saul was pretty pleased with David and what he had done to save his army and his nation, until he heard the women of Israel singing the praise of young David. Their song went like this: Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. How do you think Saul responded? Let's read in 1 Samuel 18, verses 8 and 9. Then Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him. And they said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed only thousands. Now what can we have but the kingdom?" So Saul eyed David from that day forward. Saul couldn't stand the thought of someone else getting more praise than him, the king of Israel. He couldn't stand having the spotlight taken off of him and put on somebody else, much less a teenage boy. When someone is getting the honor or attention we crave, we sometimes try to discredit them in some way. That was the case for Aaron and Miriam, the brother and sister of Moses. They didn't like it that Moses was the one who got to pass on God's instructions to the people. They didn't like it that Moses received the honor and the glory while they remained in the background. So they began to speak against Moses, here in Numbers 12, verses 1 through 3. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against their brother Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Do you remember what happened to Aaron and Miriam? Please read the whole chapter of Numbers 12 and get the full story. I'm just going to hit the highlights for time. God told Moses, Aaron, and Miriam to go to the tabernacle of meeting. God came down in a pillar of a cloud and stood in front of them in the opening where they were standing, and confronted them about their thoughts to their brother Moses. They were envious of Moses for what God was doing through him. Moses was getting all the attention. The anger of the Lord was aroused against them, so he departed. When the cloud departed, suddenly Miriam became leprous. She was as white as snow. Moses pleaded to God. Okay? Again, let's think about Moses and what type of a man he was. His brother and sister were mad at him. God punished them. Miriam became leprous. Moses didn't sit there and say, "Oh, well, good, she got what she deserved." No, Moses pleaded with God to heal his sister Miriam. God listened, but she had to wait 7 days before she could enter back into the camp. We can't be jealous of others in the church. We must treat others with more respect and honor than we do ourselves. One of the things that is absolutely essential in order to be able to honor one another above others is humility. True humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. We won't be able to honor and show respect for others if we are full of pride or have a superior or holier-than-thou attitude. But with the right kind of humility, we will be able to see who God is and who we are in reference to God. That's humbling indeed. And with the right kind of humility, we will be able to see who others are and value them the way that God values them. God has made it clear about how valuable each and every one of us are to Him. He values us enough to allow His Son to die on the cross for us. And we need to honor and value each person the same way that God does. What can we as Christians do to help us to honor one another? We can't be conceited or have a better opinion of ourselves than we do of other people. We can't sit on our pedestal and look down our noses at others and think that we are better than they are. We have a tendency to think or say things like, well, I dress better than they do, or I drive a better car than they do, or I have a better job than they do. We can't do that. We can't put ourselves above others and at the same time honor them. We must put ourselves at least on an even keel or below others to be able to honor them above ourselves. First of all, let's answer the question, who should we honor? Well, according to the Bible, we should honor many, many different people. First of all, we know that we must honor God the Father, Jesus Christ, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is worthy of our highest praise and deserves our honor. Revelation 5:12 says, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Second, we need to honor everyone. 1 Peter 2:17 says, "Honor everyone. Love the brothers and sisters, fear God, and honor the king." Our society is quick to give honor to those who are high flyers, like the rich, the successful, the beautiful, the talented, the movie stars. Okay? That's who society says to honor. But the kind of honor that Romans 12:10 commands us to have has nothing to do with who people are, what position they have, or what they produce. We are to honor one another above ourselves because God loves and values everyone. Third, honoring everyone includes honoring all those who are in authority above us. Did you notice that the verse in 1 Peter 2 said to also honor the king? Can you guess who the emperor was when this was written to the Christians? It was Nero. And we studied it in our Wednesday night class about Nero and how he was one of the worst Roman rulers, only because of what he was doing to the Christians. He killed more Christians than any other ruler. Okay? And this, it was written to them saying to honor your emperor, honor your king, honor Nero. Yeah, but look what he's doing to us. How can we honor him? Because we need to understand and remember that God puts people in positions, people of authority. Remember the Old Testament we've been studying? How God, you know, had the Babylonians and the Israelites went into slavery under the Babylonians because of what they were doing. And it was to teach them a lesson. Okay? The same is true with us today. God puts rulers into positions. But we need to honor them whether we agree with them or not, because that's what we're supposed to do. Regardless of who our president or senator or governor or mayor is, we must respect that office. We might not like the person, but we need to respect the office. We find a fantastic story in Genesis 13 of a good biblical example of honoring others when something that happens between people. We're going to look at Abraham and his nephew Lot. I am not going to read the whole story, but I want to encourage you to go to Genesis 13 and read the chapter. Unfortunately, tensions were rising between Abraham's servants and Lot's servants because of the flocks. Their sheep were so numerous that they were encroaching on each other's fields. So Abraham and Lot decided that they needed to separate their two households and put distance between them. Here's where the honoring one another above yourself comes in. Abraham, who was the older, more important, and more wealthy of the two, should have had the pick of the choice land that he wanted for his flocks. And then Lot would take what was left. But Abraham, being who he was, he gave the first choice to his nephew Lot. And he says, if you go to the left, I'll go to the right. Or if you choose and go to the right, I'll go to the left. He took that position of honor and put himself below his nephew and let him choose which lands he wanted to go to rather than putting himself first. Abraham put Lot first. Abraham honored Lot above himself. Two other authority relationships here where we should honor and respect are the relationship of children to their parents. The first of this is one of the Ten Commandments found in Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The second is found in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 through 13. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you, and you are and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. The other is for church members, us, to honor and obey our church leaders. In conclusion, honoring others means valuing others and letting them know that we value them. We can't treat them as being lower than us as we sit on our pedestal. We must be able to show our love and respect to others and to show that we value them as an individual. We can't do that if we are looking down our noses at them. Next, we need to honor others means putting them ahead of ourselves. We can't be selfish and honor those around us. We must take a step back and let others be ahead of ourselves. We must think of them first and ourselves second. Thirdly, honoring others means being willing to make sacrifices for them. We must be willing to make sacrifices for others. What kind of sacrifices can we make? How about next time that we give some of me time to help somebody else? Maybe you have plans to go out on the lake, you know, go fishing or just a time away, but somebody, you know, needs help. Oh, no. This weekend I've been planning it. This is me time. I'm getting away. I'm relaxing. You know, sacrificing would be putting that on hold to help somebody else. That's a sacrifice. You know, we studied about that when the Israelites were giving sacrifices that were lame, that were sick, that were spotted. You know, that wasn't a sacrifice. They were giving the garbage, if you will, to God. A sacrifice is when you give the unspotted, the healthy, you know, the firstborn. That was the sacrifice. And for us to sacrifice to others, that means we need to give up something of our own. Whether it's me time, whether it's money, if somebody is in need, okay? That's how we show our honor for somebody else. That's how we show our honor to somebody and put them above us, is when we sacrifice for them. Fourth, honoring others means helping them look and sound good. Does that mean lying? No, we're not supposed to lie. We usually only want ourselves to look or sound good. We might have problems in making others look or sound good, but we need to if we are going to honor others above ourselves. We must be willing to build others up and not tear them down. We must be willing to make others feel good about themselves and what they do and not build ourselves up at somebody else's experience. Okay? And it's simple things. You know, somebody might do something simple, and instead of ignoring it, let them know. Build them up. Okay? That's making them look good. That's helping to improve their image because, oh, nobody said anything. You know, maybe it's, you know, maybe it wasn't any good. Maybe they didn't like it. Well, how are they going to know that you did like it and thought it was beautiful if you didn't thank them and tell them about it? Okay? And it could be just simple things. I'm going to say mowing the yard. You know, it's a tedious task, but somebody has decided to take time out of their day to do it. And you might not notice it for the first time or two, but I tell you what, if the weeds get up this tall, you're going to notice it. You know, but you know, they get this tall and they still need to be mowed to look good. So again, helping others, building other people up, making them look good, making them sound good, is something that we can do to help each other and to honor each other. Honoring others means rejoicing when they achieve success and receive honor. As we have read in Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. We will want to do that if we are a true family of God, if we are connected as a family of God with each honor. We will want to honor each other when they succeed and receive honor. God, you know how good you feel when you get an achievement, okay? You want to get a pat on the back, a certificate of recognition, or a gift card from your favorite coffee shop, you know? Just something that says, we love you. We appreciate you. We acknowledge you. We understand that you have been, you know, somebody gets a CNA, my daughter. She spent a lot of time, a lot of money to get her CNA. And, you know, you want to approve that. You want to honor that. You want to show your respect for her. So say something to them. You know, and it might be just something small about getting a job. Well, congratulations, you got a job. I know you've been trying to find something for a long time. Little things like that. And the way we know what to do is when we are connected as a family and we know what our family is going through. We know that when they're struggling. We know when they need a pat on the back. We can't do that if we're standing over here. We can't do that if we're not connected. We can't do that if we don't talk to each other and help each other and fellowship with each other. Okay? That is how we honor each other. When we obey God's command to honor all people, we are ultimately honoring and obeying God. When we obey the Lord by humbling ourselves and by giving honor to others, God will personally bestow honor and blessings on us. So here in God's principle and promise, the more honor we give, the more we will receive. May God help us to learn how to honor one another above ourselves. Next week, we will be looking into the next one anothering idea of submitting to one another in brotherly love. So think about that. How can we submit to each other in brotherly love? If there's any way that we can help you this morning, let us know. If you need prayers, again, let us know. Let us help you. Let us pray for you. If you need anything, let your needs be known. Maybe you haven't put on Christ, and that is something that you need to do. You see where you need to take care of your sin problem. The baptistry is ready for that, and we can take care of that sin problem today. Again, just let us know how we can help you as together we stand and sing.